Let's Garage.
Hello, Pinkies. This is the co-host, Emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, welcoming you to a very special Friday the 13th live Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And here he is himself, Lucky Pierre, the Fay driver.
Oui, oui, c'est moi. Bonjour, comment Bonjour. Ça va?
I am well. How are you?
I'm fairly well as well.
That's Although great.
I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th.
Oh, you didn't? It's been all over the news here.
Yeah.
You see, we live in America where it's a little bit of a cultural backwater and people are a little suspicious.
Right.
And so this is news here.
So has anything bad happened to you today yet?
No, actually, I'm having a really good day. So,
me too. I had a bit of a spa day, really.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I lazed around all day today.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I got early release today, so I got to leave about an hour and a half early, so I came home and got a head start on all of my weekend chores.
Well, very good. How nice for you.
Yes, how nice for me.
Well, I guess we could introduce our guests who are with us tonight, Laughing Buddha.
That's right.
How about we say hello to Musing Mark?
Hello, Fay. How are you?
I'm well. How are you these days?
I am just fine.
You haven't been here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage for a while.
Yeah, I haven't been invited. Should I just muscle my way in? And thank you for having me back.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Some would say you don't always need an invitation. You just show up like Brenda Boo. Hello, Brenda Boo.
Hello. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm perfectly fine. I feel like I might be out wearing my welcome on the internet, but I'm all right.
I was wondering if you were getting tired of listening to yourself.
Fuck yes, a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything unlucky happen to you today on this Friday the 13th?
No, I don't believe in such nonsense. I create my own bad luck. I don't need special days of the month to do it.
Well, someone else who, I don't know, I guess Scotty Aussie Battler, you've already had your Friday the 13th, have you?
That's right. It was yesterday, and I was quite shocked to see that the 13th floor was still in our building. So I don't know what's going on in Australia.
Mm-hmm. I know we have a lot of 13th floors over here, too.
It's only in America where you go and there's the whole floor is missing from the building.
Right.
But it's not. It's there.
That's right. And I tried to say that to someone at a hotel once, and they just looked at me and they could not get what I was saying. Just because you called it 14, it's still the 13th floor.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us here tonight on Pride 48 and for the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. We have got lots of things to talk about, lots of interesting and fun things. I guess now we should introduce the people who have joined us in the chat room, Laughing Buddha.
That's right. Joining us tonight, so far, we have Moose P. The Seder 69 is joining us. Welcome, Scott. And Toffee Smelly is also in the room. Welcome.
Well, guys, I don't know, where should we start? I know, Laughing Buddha, you have a couple of things going on. We don't necessarily have a technical segment on this show, but I see you're looking for a new phone. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, I have this Android phone, and it's at least 3 years old, and it's starting to give me some trouble. Text messages are really slow in going through, and, you know, it's constantly checking for updates, and it just seems to be bogged down. And, you know, here in my recording studio, I have a MacBook Air. I also have an iPad, and it only makes sense that I just migrate everything over into one platform. So I'm considering getting an iPhone, but I haven't decided which one. And I know I put out on Twitter earlier today, basically, the 5C or the 5S discuss. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my tech-savvy friends are saying, you know, there's no question, get the 5S. And you were the one who chimed in and said, don't blow your money on that. You're not going to have to world domination servers from your phone.
Right. Yeah, so, let me just quickly ask the other people on the call, does anybody else have an iPhone on who are with us tonight?
Yes.
No, wow. I think Mark does, though. Don't you, Mark?
Very funny.
Well, we all know that Musing Mark hardly has a cell phone at all. But
how dare you? It rings when I turn it on. Mr. X is always after me. You never have your cell phone on. It's like, well, because it never rings. It's because, like, you never have it on. So it's this circular argument.
I concur. When I've tried to contact you via your phone, I always get your message. Always.
Good on. It's always on when I try, Mark.
I will, when I'm on the other side of the border, I'll probably get a smartphone and actually have it turned on.
Shut your mouth. That's a lie.
No way. Are you serious? Next you're going to tell me you're going to buy a car.
Well, I'll trade in the car for a smartphone, yes.
What kind of phone do you have, iPhone do you have, Scotty?
It's iPhone 5, so it's almost 2 years old, and I am holding out for the iPhone 6 coming out this year, which is what I think you should probably do too, Laughing Buddha. I think just hold on another 3 or 4 months.
I'll try. It seems to be limping along. I had some trouble powering up this morning, and it keeps crashing. So I'm not sure I can hold out for that, but I'll give it a shot.
I don't know. I'm going to be the odd man out here and help you, Laughing Buddha.
How unusual.
Just get a 5S, the 5C, the cheaper one.
Okay.
And you'll be happy. You'll be fine with it.
Okay, here's the deal. I checked with my carrier today, and a 5C with 32 gig is the same price as a 5S with only 16 gig.
Right.
So why wouldn't I get the newer phone, the 5S? I don't put a lot of stuff on my phone.
Yes, well, let's discuss. What do you use your phone for? Or what will you use it for?
Well, basically, it's going to be pretty much just, you know, occasional web surfing, apps like Twitter, and maybe some ebook readers. But that's usually about it. Email. Mm-hmm.
I'll admit, I have the 5S. I mean, it works really, really well. I think you could get by with just the 5C.
Well, Moose in the chat room says not the C, because the C is only 32-bit and the S is 64.
Yeah, definitely. And it will be a faster machine. How much more are you... I mean, how much extra is it? It's like $100, isn't it? Over the C?
In the same memory category, yes. It's $100.
Right. Someone doing their washing at the moment or something.
I've just added
to an industrial.
I've just added Dan from It's All About Me. Dan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan from It's All About Me podcast. Hi. Dan, as you're also known. How are you doing, Dan?
Hi, Dan.
Doing awesome. Hello, Scotty.
We're just talking about Laughing Buddha, who wants to get a new phone, and everyone's telling him to get an iPhone 5S, and I'm telling him to save his pennies and go cheap and get a 5C.
Oh, I agree. 5C.
There you go.
Ooh.
I don't know, Laughing Buddha.
Controversial one. Who needs the Siri anyways?
I have Siri on my iPad.
Right. You know, I was just mentioning, I have the 5. It's a very powerful phone. It's got a great fast processor in it, and it works terrifically, and I'm very happy with it. But for the types of things that I do, which is essentially what you just said, I talk on it about once a month. I generally, sometimes I Twitter on it, and I mostly listen to podcasts and use it for texting and and I guess tweeting. And I think a 5C would do that all just fine enough, because I don't think you need a lot of processing power for those types of things. And you'll save yourself a bunch of money.
Okay.
What's wrong with the Android?
It's just that everything
he
else in my house.
Wants people to talk to him, Brenda.
What are you talking about? I have an Android.
He doesn't want to be shunned by society.
Oh, I don't have mind
reason. Brenda, the reason for the switch to Apple is just to have the same platform. Since I have a MacBook Air and an iPad,
well,
an iPhone that would
date or something. Why do you need them all to be the same?
It's just the connectivity between all of the devices is much smoother than using or trying to use an Android for that. Huh. So the Apple environment has, in my opinion, a little bit more cutting edge as far as, like, if I have a window open on my MacBook Air and I'm at work and I only have my iPhone, I can access that website from that environment. I don't have to go to my computer. And, you know, it's just a little bit seamless.
Mm. I think the thing that I like is iMessage, and that,
yeah,
you know, like you're basically sending text messages for free to anyone with any kind of Apple account, whether it's a Mac or an iPhone, and you can also have iMessage on your computer, so you can be typing SMSs from your computer or from your phone, and they're synced up all the time, and it's free. So I find that quite good.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Brenda.
No, I was just going to say I just had to buy a new battery for mine, and I went for the big boy, spent $50 on a battery. Mm. Oh, that's it.
There's a lot of comments in the chat room from Moose about how you should not go for the C. You should get the faster S, the 5S, which is 64-bit. It has faster, more memory and better resources. And he says it's not what you currently do, but what will happen over the next year or two until your contract is complete. What are you going to be doing then? That's why he thinks you should go for the faster processor.
My carrier is T-Mobile, and right now I have their basic plan. So I'm not tied into any contract. I'm basically going to shell out the money for the device, and I won't have a contract. I'm not going to have to be with them for 2 years. I can basically do whatever I want when I want, because I'm buying the device.
Mm-hmm. While we're talking about technology, can I get some opinions on a decision I need to make just very quickly?
Yes, go ahead.
So we sold our condo and we're moving into a rental with wireless at the end of the month. And I want to get a tablet that works pretty well with Netflix. And I have it pretty much down to the Samsung Galaxy Tab 4 or the Asus Nexus 7. And they seem fairly comparable, but the Nexus 7 has a higher resolution. It has the 1920 by 1200 resolution. And the Galaxy has 1280 by 800 resolution. So I was just wondering if anyone has any opinions on this. Should I spend, and the Nexus is more expensive. It's about $60 more. Should I pay more for the slightly higher resolution?
Well, I think it depends on how much you're going to use the device. I'm not sure how you're consuming your Netflix now, especially if, like, you're on a laptop or something and you're going to go to a smaller screen size. Mm-hmm. Personally, I personally would spring for the extra money for the resolution. I think it'll just be easier if you're going to use that as your primary device for consuming Netflix.
Mm-hmm. It seems to have a little bit more RAM, and the processor is a little faster too.
Yeah, that's going to help as well. My opinion is, you know, you get what you pay for in a lot of instances, and I don't think tech is any different. And if you can afford it, you know, $60, that's $5 a month, you know, and how long are you going to have your tablet? Probably for at least 3 to 5 years. I mean, I'm going on 3 years with my iPad right now, and it's still in great shape. So
The only thing that I like about the Galaxy 2, although it has less resolution, is that it has a rear camera. And so I could use it as a camera too, not just a front camera.
And then Nexus 7, take pictures of your rear.
And the Nexus 7 only has the front camera, so I'd be taking pictures of myself or turning it around and hoping that I'm taking a picture of something, I guess.
We talked about this last night, so he knows how I feel about it.
Yeah, you have a Galaxy, so which is tried and true, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. I'm an Android, I guess. Android.
They both use Android. You would be the odd person out, Brenda Boo.
Ah, what a surprise, right?
But then I was looking at the price for an iPad mini, and they're like $500. It's like ridiculous.
That's what it's about for me. It's about the money. It's really all about money. And it seems to work just fine, so I'm happy with it.
I yield the floor. I just wanted to ask. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, let me officially welcome It's All About Dan to the show. Hello, Dan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, I want you to know that you don't have to wait until you're spoken to speak here like you do on that other show you're on. You could just pipe up anytime.
If I was waiting on that other show, I'd never get a word in edgewise.
I'd like you to know that I will often represent other podcasters as their agent. So if you need representation against those burrito boys that you do with that other show with, please have a word with me.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
So far, I've only been able to get people from my show onto Brenda's show. That seems to be the path you're...
Oh, yeah, you'll be next. When can I interview the show?
When can you interview me for Jerking It with June? I would say sometime in June.
All right, then.
So thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be
actually,
here.
Laughing Buddha, we never went around the room to do drinks. Maybe we can do that real quickly.
Sure. Well, today it's a beautiful Friday, and it's summer here. We're trying to be in St. Paul, and I am having a big fatty special, which is, of course, a gin and tonic with two limes.
Very nice. Scotty, are you having tea this morning?
No, I've already had a large coffee, so now I've just got water. Mm. And Faye, can I just point out that Seder69 has a car question?
Oh, all right. We'll try to get to that. If you want to write out your question, Seder, in the chat room, we'll get to it. What about you, Mark? What beverage would you have tonight?
Just some lukewarm tap water.
Well, you really like to step out on the weekend.
Wow.
Don't you?
It's full of bubbles. It's been sitting here for a while.
Not even cold. It's lukewarm.
Brenda?
Oh, I'm drinking straight tequila. I got the
excellent
in my mouth right now.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Dan, are you off now for the weekend? Do you get to have a drink tonight?
I get to have a drink tonight if I want it, but right now I am having ginger ale.
Oh, very nice.
Trusty now, old faithful.
I'm actually having water and wine. So I'm playing Jesus here. I'm having a bit of water. It's turning into wine. And I'm having a bit of both. Hey, Dan, I want to ask you a couple of questions, actually, while I have you here on the line, because, you know, I do listen to It's All About Me, but it seems to me you hardly get a chance to talk on that show. And I want to delve into your personality a little bit here, if I may.
Okay.
Now, you got some bit on that show about you keep moving to a different town all the time. I don't quite understand it. but can you tell us where you really live?
I really live in Mesa, Arizona.
All right, so you're on my end of the country.
Yes.
We're almost in the same time zone, I presume.
Mm-hmm. That's a bit Mark came up with. He just, out of the blue, will pick a place, and that's where I live that week.
Right. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because I don't know how many of my listeners might know who you are. Are you partnered or with someone, married, something like that?
I am married. I married my husband in Canada about 7 years ago.
Oh, terrific. How nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And then, now, this is the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. It's not a requirement for you to have a car, but do you own a vehicle?
Yes, I own a 2009 Hummer H3T.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, you're a manly man.
No, I said H3T. I didn't say H2 or H1.
Right. Well, but still, a Hummer, that's a pretty manly vehicle.
Well, my husband always has had trucks. He will not drive a car.
I see. Very interesting. All right. Well, thanks.
Until earlier this year, I did own an Infiniti, but I let that one go on a lease. But we've had the Hummer for about 4 years now.
Terrific. All right. Now, Laughing Buddha, speaking of cars and driving and things, you had an experience, I think, this last week that you want to talk about.
Do you want to tell us? Actually, it's been several times probably in the last couple of months. You know I have an undying love for Trader Joe's, do you not?
Right.
Okay. Well, 8 blocks from my house is the Trader Joe's that's closest to me, and they have an underground parking garage that probably will park, if I had to guess, it's probably somewhere around 60 to 70 vehicles. And so it's underneath the store, and it's small. And as you know, I think they had some German engineers look at this parking situation, because the flow of parking is basically you go down the ramp. There's one door into the parking garage, and that's, you know, it's always open. So you have two lanes of traffic. So you're driving in the lane to your left. People are driving out. So what you're supposed to do on the traffic flow is to go into the parking lot and go in a clockwise motion around to find a space. Now, several times in the last couple of months, I'm pulling into the parking garage. It's a Saturday. It's about 11:20 in the morning, which is not a hugely busy time, but it's not quiet either. But there's always parking down in this area. And invariably, I have somebody in front of me who pulls into the garage, gets about a car length or two in, and then stops and proceeds to back into a parking space on the right. When there's plenty of parking spaces ahead or off to the left or around the corner. And it
quick
bugs
question.
Me.
Quick question, is the ultimate destination close to this?
No, it's stand? Not. It's not. The door to go up the stairs and into the store is across the way. So these first few parking spaces are actually on opposite ends of the entrance to the store itself. So it really bugs me that people think that there's special snowflakes that can stop in the midst of what should be a one-way traffic flow and proceed to back into a parking space. So am I out of line here? Does that kind of go against the grain of parking lot etiquette?
Well, I don't know. Let's go around the room. Scotty Battler, do you have a response for this?
I do. I think if you want to reverse it in backwards, twerking all the way, then you should be able to do it. It's one of the things that makes America great.
Using Mark?
I know that Peter G was screaming about this the other night on Lotsel, so I think it, yeah. I'm not much of a driver, but I can see that would be very frustrating.
What do you think, Brenda Boo?
Well, I've never understood why they need to back up, back into a spot, because either way you're going to have to back up one way or the other. So, and there's even some parking lots that say there's none of that nonsense going on. Right? You don't back into the spots. I'm going to kind of have to go with Scotty. It's kind of inconsiderate if there's a long line of people, but, you know, what the fuck? You know, let them back in. Who gives a shit, I guess.
What about
you,
Dan?
They're getting in my way.
Maybe you're the special snowflake.
I partially agree with Brenda, but as a truck driver, I know that it's a lot easier to back into a spot from the aisle than back into the aisle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. I think backing in is preferred for me, especially if you have a larger vehicle. I think it's easier to back in, unless you can find a spot that's like straight drive in, like an easy straight in. But I'm not on your side on this, Laughing Buddha.
No, I need
to take a pill.
I can understand, especially if these were larger vehicles, but they're not. They're like subcompact cars.
I don't know.
It's a Midwest thing too, Laughing Buddha. I mean, my dad back up, and I don't know what it is about Midwesterners. I see this a lot. They think they're cheating the system, it seems like to me.
So I'm just wondering, Laughing Buddha, is it basically they're taking the first spot they can find, and so they stop all the traffic and back into that spot rather than carrying on?
Yes.
I find that odd because in like here in British Columbia, we always like to get as close as you could possibly get to the front door. So, you know, we would drive around 8 times finding the closest spot to the destination before doing something like what you're describing.
Well, especially if it's the gym, right?
Well, see, that's what's so mind-boggling to me, is it's not close to the exit. It's not really convenient. It just happens to be the first space. And the thing is, last weekend, there were like 4 other spaces just ahead that could have been used. And as a matter of fact, if this person would have gone straight ahead, they would have had one of those straight in parking spaces that would be closer to the door.
Who knows, right?
Strange.
Why they do people do what they do.
Well, okay. I need to learn how to relax.
Maybe. Well, let me tell you a story about an altercation, not really an altercation, but an experience I had with this lady that I was one of those women in Safeway. I was out getting my groceries one day, and in the grocery store with my cart, there was this other woman, and she kept getting in my way. So I would come beetling down, you know, one aisle, and she would be there with her cart kind of sort of 3/4 of the way blocking. And, you know, I was able to get around her, but it was like, I'm sorry, let me move my cart for you. And, you know, sort of a little interaction with this woman. And I got by her. And then I went around, you know, a couple more aisles. And we just happened to be on, you know, that rotation where you keep seeing the same person because you're sort of going opposite ways down the aisles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that happens?
Yes.
So I kept encountering this woman over and over in the grocery store. And every time I encountered her, she was creating an issue. Like, she was always in the way, right? She wouldn't just park side, like, stick to her side of the lane and, you know, wait for people to pass. She was always, like, blocking traffic all the time. So, and I actually got in front of her at the till, and I thought, hey, I'm going to beat you, lady. And so I got in front of her at the till, but she comes behind me at the till. And so we're in the till line together. And so I had all these really, you know, it's very, a lot, I would say an unusual number of interactions with this one woman. And then we get out and I'm loading up my car and all that kind of stuff. And I'm futzing around. And wouldn't you know it, when I leave the bloody parking lot, I'm trying to drive out. And who do you think is in her car, backing out as slowly as she can, blocking my way to get out of the bloody parking lot at the grocery store, but the same woman?
I think you have a stalker.
I'm wondering.
So you killed her? What did you do? Yeah.
In America, you would just pull out your gun and shoot her.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds like an episode of the new Fargo series.
It does.
It's justifiable homicide, am I right, Music Mark?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you that Eric, when we go to the grocery store, he is so in his own little world that he will stop in the middle of the aisle with his cart and he'll walk away. And I see all these people coming up and they're trying to get around him, and I'll pick the cart up and I'll push it to the side, and then we'll go down the aisle, and then I'll do it again and do it again. And I'm like, why don't you get off to the side? And he's like, huh? What? She's just in her own little world. Unfortunately.
Oh.
Sorry, that's my take on it.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're actually. I thought I know you best.
All right. I want to address Sater69's question. He had a question in the chat room. He's saying that he has a 2010 Hyundai Accent with tire pressure monitor, and the tire pressure monitor light keeps activating on his car. I guess he put a new tires on it, or I don't know if it's a new tire or not, but he says it's the same tire that's being activated over and over, and he's wondering if we might know what's wrong with his tire pressure monitor. And I think Moose P has already answered the question. Laughing Buddha, do you see what's going on there?
Moose has basically suggested that the battery in the valve stem is going dead and that he should probably get a new valve stem.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have any ideas for him?
I thought they did that automatically when you got a new tire.
Because
they're like $8 or $10 a piece, aren't they?
A reputable one would do it, but... You know, if you're going to Tires R Us on the cheap, you know, they cut corners everywhere they can. They might not necessarily replace your valve stems or the batteries they're in. My question is if it's the same tire. Now, I also have the pressure sensors in my car, and I have to check all of the tires. Are all the tire pressures the same?
I'm wondering if his actually indicates which tire it is. Let me just explain what a tire pressure monitor is for Sater69, who has that question. Inside of your tire, the valve stem is that bit that you put the air into when you need to fill up your tire. That is what a valve stem is. The air goes in through the valve stem. And in older cars, when you got new tires, they would pop that valve stem out and replace it with a brand new one. Because it is made of rubber, it would deteriorate over time, and that's where several leaks would come from. In these new, modern, newfangled cars, that tire pressure monitor also has, or that tire valve stem also has a monitoring system on it, on the inside of the tire, and it's a little battery-operated pressure sensor, and it monitors your pressure. It has some sort of Wi-Fi radio connect thing in it that shoots information through the radio waves into your car. And when the tire pressure monitor in the tire senses that your tires run low, it sends a signal and makes your light come on your dash. So, as Moose has already said, probably it's the battery in that one tire pressure monitor that's gone bad. So you would need to go back to Hyundai and ask them to replace your tire pressure, your tire valve stem with the monitor system in it.
Sater is saying that he has to fill up every tire, as I have no idea which tire it is. My question is, are you using a pressure gauge to check each tire?
That's a good point, because if all your tires will need to be at equal pressures, so you should be using a tire pressure gauge to make sure they're all the same. But I'm betting that if you're having this problem, if when you have your next major service for your Hyundai, take it in to Hyundai. Hyundai can connect their computers to it, and they may be able to tell precisely which tire it is that's not transmitting properly, and they can replace either the battery or, more likely, the whole tire pressure monitor gizmo and air stem, because I don't think you can actually replace the batteries in these things. They're sealed for life, sort of a thing. Does anyone else have any comments on that?
Well, I'm just reading what Sater says. He says he uses the, quote, air thingy at the gas station that has a built-in tire gauge. I would say invest in a separate, privately owned one, and that's going to give you a more accurate reading. And then pay attention to, if you just got a tire replaced, is it the same tire that is indicating the wrong one, that is either low or high and is giving you the bad reading?
All right. Thank you, Dan. And thank you, Sater. Hey, Scotty Battler.
Yes,
you have some sad news to tell us here tonight.
I have not heard or seen from the Super Samoan for months.
I didn't think that was the bad news.
Hang on, let me go to my secret list of what's happening on the show and read what I'm supposed to say
now.
It's
about your scooter.
Oh, yeah, Scotty Battler, dead scooter. Yes, Scooter Libby has died.
Could we have a moment of silence, please?
Oh, I thought you just got that scooter.
I got it about almost 2 years ago, Mark, but you're probably still catching up on my podcast, so I'll forgive you.
You know, the older you get, the years just fly by.
That's right.
What kind of scooter was it, Scotty?
It was a Bug Bandit, which is, I think, Taiwanese or some sort of cheapo one, which I bought in August 2012 for $500. So I've gotten a lot of good use out of it.
Do you know what killed it?
Probably carrying around a great big fat hippo didn't help it much.
Is that any way to talk about the Super Samoan?
I'll tell you, it would have been going a lot slower with him on it. It struggled with me. I think just because of the fact it's about 11 or 12 years old, and every time I've gotten it serviced, which has probably been 3 or 4 times, I can't remember, the guy has said to me, "This thing's on its last legs. You'll be lucky to get another month out of this." Well, 18 months later, nearly 2 years later, I got it serviced a month ago, and he said the same thing, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, it'll keep going, don't worry." Well, a month later, it died. So I was going up this hill, not a very big hill, but still a hill, on my way to work, and the thing died. And I was in the middle lane of 3 lanes. Luckily, there wasn't much traffic because it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I quickly put my indicator on and swerved across the lanes and pulled over. Anyway, I got it started again a minute later. Then it drove, struggling, to the crest of the hill and then down the other side of the hill. Then just before this sort of short underpass tunnel, where there was 2 lanes, it died again. And I was forced to pull over where there was actually nowhere to pull over because there was a wall. And at that point, I thought I was going to die because, you know, crazy peak hour traffic drivers who are bent going around a small bend to go in an overpass, we're not expecting to see a scooter stopped on the side, or actually in the lane. Anyway, it started again, drove, parked, and then I drove home very slowly at about 20 to 30 k's per hour, and it did stop once on the way home. But
so it's just, is it just sputtering out? Like, what's it doing when it dies?
It just sort of goes, yeah, it just loses power and dies.
Hmm.
I did find, though, with a bit of experimentation on the way home, going wrong if I only drove at about 25 to 30 k's per hour, it didn't die. It just sort of kept going. And if I didn't really accelerate to go up a hill or even down a hill, it just kept going. So I made it home, but yeah, I think it's pretty screwed.
What was your question, Dan?
I was just asking, what did the serviceman say was going wrong with it? Why is it on its last leg? Is there something that he can replace that you're just putting off repairing?
Yeah, he said last time he could have spent about another $900 on it trying to fix it. It's just, you know, it's only a 50cc scooter that's, you know, probably been thrashed to death for the last 11 years. So, right from the beginning, the first time I took it there, he was like, this thing's going to die soon. And I said, well, it only cost me $500, so hopefully it lasts a year or so and then it's worth it. But, yeah, he said there's nothing really much you can do. He said you'd be more likely replacing the engine, which is pointless on a scooter because you might as well just buy another scooter.
Right. Do you know how many miles are on it?
It's not much. I think it's only about 12,000 kilometers.
Oh. Hmm. It's pretty old, though.
So, yeah.
You say it's 10 or 11 years old?
Yeah, I think it's I can't remember what year it is. Oh, I've got my registration, which luckily I didn't pay because the registration expires next week. What does it say? Oh, I don't think it does say. Anyway.
Are you going to get another one?
I am. I can't really afford it at the moment, so I've been catching the bus this week, which is driving me crazy. It's about $45 a week to catch the bus to work. Instead of spending about $4.50 on petrol for my scooter, so it's a lot more economical to have a scooter.
Right. Does anyone have any questions for Scotty?
Do you ever feel very vulnerable in amongst all the traffic on that scooter?
Not really, Brenda. No, I did when I first got it. I was like, and you know, Australian drivers and Queensland drivers are not known for their patience to, especially to people on bicycles, and I just thought my scooter was always a bit slow and only did like 50 k's per hour, so the speed limit is generally 60 k's per hour on sort of main roads, and there's one stretch that's 70, so I'm buzzing along for a while at 50, and now that it's been a bit sick the last 6 months, I've been getting down to about between 40 and 50. But I've only ever had once where someone like overtook me in like a, you know, some big tank of a car and like, you know, totally revved
the engine BMW
and burned past me. Oh, no, if it was a BMW driver, they would have just rammed me off the road. But no, it was like a Falcon or a Holden Commodore driver or some sort of yobbo. Some hoon.
I just know that like even people on motorcycles, it's really easy to miss them in your mirror. Like I've noticed lately when I've been driving, because there's more bikes out now that the weather's nice. It's been nice for a while. And it's like, fuck, where did they come from? So, yeah.
Well, I think the thing that actually helps is that I can't really go fast. So where someone on a real motorbike can sort of zip through the traffic a little bit and can sort of come up on you quite fast. Whereas I'm doing under the speed limit, so I can't really sort of surprise any motorist by suddenly being next to them or overtaking them. I'm really sitting in the middle of the lane, and it's generally like just before peak hour traffic in the morning, and they're coming home in peak hour traffic, so you know there's quite a bit of traffic around, so everybody's just sort of puttering along nicely. I don't feel unsafe.
Okay, just curious.
All right. Well, thanks, Scotty. Sorry to hear your little friend is dead.
Yeah.
Maybe you can ride your dog to work.
He's tall enough, but judging by his comatose state after a 27-minute walk this morning. definitely couldn't get me all the way to this town.
Did he ever win any races? Or
no, he didn't. Oh. He got third a few times.
That's good.
They must be short races, though.
Yeah, I don't know how long a greyhound race is, actually. But, yeah, it's probably only like a minute or two of full sprinting. He's pretty hyperactive in the backyard in the afternoon. Like, he'll be sprinting around the yard, catching his toy, throwing it in the air, spinning around in circles. So he'll have a good 5 to 10 minutes of hyperactivity, and then he'll collapse comatose on the floor until I give him his dinner, and then for the rest of the night. So
that sounds like me.
Sounds like a good dog to have.
Very low maintenance dog, which is good.
I want to move on because we're running out of time here on the show. But Musing Mark, I wanted to ask you about your situation with your car, because we all know you're moving away from Canada.
True.
And you have a car that you either need to decide if you're going to try to take it with you into the States or what you're going to do with it. What are your thoughts on this?
We've pretty much decided to get rid of it. I don't think it's worth the hassle. And once we move, we're hoping that we won't actually need a car. Mm-hmm. And if we do need a car, we can get one. But that's what we're hoping. But yeah, I don't want to brag in front of our guest, Dan. But yeah, I have a 97 Suzuki Swift there, Dan. And it's
I think a real pussy wagon. I ran over one of those this morning.
Yes. So we're probably going to try to sell it. Mr. X is selling all of our stuff. He sold our couch and a bunch of our furniture. And it's funny because I come home and there's a greater echo every time I come home. You know, it's like, echo, echo, because there's nothing in there, which is good. But he's going to sell the car before we leave. Any advice?
Well, wash it.
Oh, man.
You haven't washed it since you bought it, which was something like 10 years ago, I'm sure.
That dirt is the only thing holding that paint on.
But I would recommend you might do that.
Okay.
Are you just going to put it on Craigslist or something like that, the Auto Trader?
I imagine. Is Craigslist a good way to go? What would you suggest?
If you want to sell it quickly and you don't want to get any money for it, I would put it on Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a possibly more discerning buyer, someone who might be willing to pay a little extra, I would put it. You can do a free ad in the Auto Trader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Autotrader.com here in Canada.
But would a discerning buyer buy our car?
There's got to be a collector of that kind of vehicle that is just chomping at the bit to get a gem like yours.
I haven't seen a car like this in years.
Not since 1997.
The Auto Trader is a publication. It's like a newspaper or a magazine, so it goes out in print. And it's actually online as well, but I think you'll be able to ask a little better in the Auto Trader than you would on Craigslist. And if you're not in a rush to sell it, I would try that for a couple of weeks. And if you grow tired of that, then move over to Craigslist, perhaps.
So it's autotrader.com, not .ca, right?
Yeah. You might try autotrader.bc.ca. That might take you to the local one. Okay. I haven't actually gotten on Auto Trader in a while, so I'm not exactly sure.
Mark?
Yes.
Can I ask, don't you have any needs that would require a car? Like getting groceries or going to stores or...
Well, being a man.
I hate it when my car breaks down. I just feel like, oh, my whole life is just falling apart. I can't get anywhere or go to work or... I'm totally screwed, and you are voluntarily giving up your transportation. I don't understand.
Well, it's just that parking is really difficult in Seattle, and the area that we're going to move to is we're trying to live close to a store, like a Safeway or whatever. And there's all sorts of go-car sorts of options there. And it's just, we're just going to see how it goes. And if it's totally impossible without a car, then we'll get one. But we don't want to haul the Suzuki Swift to the U.S. and have it, because I think you have to, it has that weird thing where the headlights are on all the time and you have to get that changed and
right,
all that jazz. So it's just not worth it.
What do you mean you have to get that changed?
It's a bit of a pain in the ass to import a car across the border.
I understand that concept. I'm talking about the headlights thing. What do you mean by
that? Here in Canada, we have daytime running lights, and it's a law that you have to have low intensity lights on the front of your car at all times if you're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our Canadian cars have this daytime running light feature, whereas American cars don't.
I never knew that. Hate that, daytime running lights? I thought it was your mission in life to, like, smash them all.
Me, Faye?
Yes.
I refuse to answer that question.
I've heard a rant or two about daytime running lights from you.
But my car has daytime running lights. There's no law in the Americas that say you can't have them.
Yes, I was...
I have daytime running lights too. A lot of newer vehicles in the U.S. have that.
Most of them do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's becoming more popular in the U.S. They'll let you into the country with daytime running lights, but if you actually are bringing a car from USA into Canada, it absolutely must have daytime running lights. But pretty much everything that's manufactured nowadays automatically has it.
Who knew that? The border was so damn difficult.
It's a pain in the ass. And the speedometer is in kilometers instead of miles. I don't know if they would go for that in the U.S. But it's just easier just to leave it on this side and not deal with all of the hassles. There's enough hassles as it is with bank accounts and credit cards and addresses and keys and all this stuff. It's like, we're just going to leave the car here.
Right.
Plus, it's a 97 Suzuki.
Yes.
Which never gets driven
in. Good point, Dan. Yeah, and it hardly gets driven. I mean, that's another reason that we're going to take a wait-and-see attitude, because we hardly drive that car. It sits there. It goes to Safeway a couple times a month, or it'll, you know, we don't use it very much, and it's just not worth the expense, I don't think.
Well, the Kelley Blue Book value in my zip code for a 1997 Suzuki Swift is about $1,200 U.S.
That's higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, me too.
But you're going to make some poor person really happy, because they're going to get a hold of this car that's still in really good condition, that's low mileage, and you're going to make their fucking year. That's going to be awesome for them.
Yeah, so. For the poor.
For the poor like me.
Do you want my car?
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to drive it back.
So you know, it costs about $1,200 to ship a car across Canada from British Columbia to New Brunswick. So,
I mean, why can't you just drive it from da-da-da-da? Why do you have to ship it? Why can't you drive it?
Yes, you could do that, but I'm just giving you the option. if you didn't want to drive the car, you paid $1,200 to Mark for it, you could pay another $1,200 to get it shipped over to
the Iowas?
To the Iowas, yeah.
To put around. And then I can make it my new deathmobile, because I am all about just running these cars into the fucking ground. Nobody can use them.
Do you have an issue with your car, Brenda? What's going on with your car?
Oh my God, it's so noisy.
Do you know what is the origin of the noise?
Peter, when he was in my car, he said he could feel something rattling underneath over by him. And I noticed that the clutch is kind of slipping sometimes. So I don't know if the clutch is going out. Somebody also said it might be a wheel bearing going out. But then I just had those new tires put on, and then I had the bolts retorqued. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't they have noticed something like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because the car's not moving, so.
I don't.
Unless they've driven it.
No. It was just when I got my oil changed. I asked him to. I said, my direction said you should retorque these. And they're like, what pressure? I don't know. So I thought
that's not a valid question.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, that's a silly question for them to ask you. What pressure do you want it torqued? That doesn't make. They're pulling your leg because you're a girl.
Oh, well, fuck them. They always try to get me to do the extras, and they don't get me to fall for that shit. They haven't seen my pocketbook a coming. There ain't nothing in it. I really think it might be the clutch.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Just from hearing you talk about it. But anyway, we'll have to get you to record your noises out of your car.
Oh, I'll do it for you.
Play them for us. Maybe on Jerking It in June, you could drive around in circles.
In circles? All right.
And for 8 minutes or 12 or 20.
Oh, okay. And just keep doing it. And
right.
Okay. And you'll play that whole 20 minutes? No, I'll play it for 20 minutes. Duh. Right. Well, I'll get my dogs to bark. It'll be a real good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Okay, guys. Well, we've gone full circle here. We've been on Pride 48 for a full hour. So I want to thank you guys for joining us here tonight on Pride 48. I hope not too many people had any difficulty getting into the chat room with us. Laughing Buddha, do you want to tell us who's joined us finally at the end here?
Finally, to the bitter end, we've got RT Cruiser, Sater69, Toppy Smelly, Wit, and Pib 71169.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Now, as everybody knows, this next weekend coming up is the Pride 48 live streaming weekend. And the Pink Wheelnuts Garage Show is going to be on next week. It'll be Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can come back if you want to join us for the Pink Wheelnuts Garage Show. We're going to hopefully have some voices you've heard from way back when. A couple of people we haven't heard from for a long time are going to join me on that show. Laughing Buddha will be here for that as well. Right, Mark?
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to this Pride 48 this year. It's going to be exciting, and I'm jazzed about it.
And if anybody has any car questions for that special episode, send them in to podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. We will not be doing a show next Friday, since that is our time period is just right before the big wind-up to the beginning of the Pride 48 live streaming weekend. So don't look for us on Friday. Come and join us on Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'll give my guests an opportunity to tell us all where you can be found on the internet. We'll start with Scotty Battler. Scotty?
You can find me at, what is it called again? LittleAussieBattler.net, and I recorded a show last night, so stay tuned for the now monthly occasional podcast.
Very good. Musing Mark, I did want to say I really did enjoy not your last episode, but the episode... the last episode was crap, but the one before it was terrific.
Which one was that?
No, you're talking about leaving and going off to the USA.
Oh, okay.
It was, really, it was very moving for me.
Oh.
And the music was excellent as well on that episode.
Well, thank you.
So the one previous to the music mix that you put out a couple days ago. So I wanted you to know I enjoyed it.
So you hated the music mix?
No, I didn't. No. No, I enjoyed the music mix, of course, as well.
Oh, good. Okay.
So where can we find your music mix and your other audio shows?
Musings of a TechWriter.com. I also put in an appearance on Lotsel and on DocTalk. Mm-hmm.
DocTalk with our favorite guest, Brenda Boo. Brenda, where can we find you?
I won't say what I was going to say. Hello again, it's BrendaBoo.com.
Well, that's not fair.
I was just going to say I'm I'd be splooging all over the month of June.
Oh, yes.
Right. Jerking it in June.
We're all enjoying that immensely, actually.
Yes.
I know, yes. I was giving you a hard time, but actually, you know, there's not a lot of shows that are on right now on the Pride 48 Network. I don't know about you guys, but I'm running out of shows to listen to. So, thank God for jerking it in June.
I already put up the one for tomorrow. I'm just like, I don't want to fuck with it. So, the 14th one is already available. And that's with Mark.
Right. And then Dan from It's All About Me. Dan, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
I was going to ask you, you did mention on It's All About Me that Romo got a new car, but you never told us what it was. Do you know what kind of car he got?
I believe it's a new Nissan Sentra.
Ah, all right. Well, congratulations to Romo. And thanks, Dan. Thanks for joining us. I hope maybe you can come back and join us again sometime, because now I need to learn more about you and your truck driving and where you might be going in that Hummer of yours.
I just drive over scooters all day long.
All right. Where can we find you, Dan?
You can find me at itsallaboutmepodcast.com. You send me an email. It's all about me podcast at gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter at about me podcast.
I see Seder in the chat room is trying to get us to all go listen to the Seder Sphere, but that's all about hockey and musicals, and that has what that makes no sense to me at all. Like,
it's a perfect pairing.
Right.
I really like Cindy.
Oh. Just not the other guy, right?
So I am the Faye driver. You can, Seder69, you can send your hate mail to podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. You can find this show and my in-car show at pinkwheelnuts.com. And the man who always has the last word, it is the Laughing Buddha.
That's right. I am the Laughing Buddha, and you can find me at thescooterdiaries.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaFFingBuddha. Good night, everyone, and we'll see you at Pride 48 next weekend.
I didn't get to ask you guys what I should wear tomorrow to the track. I don't know my wardrobe. I don't know what to wear.
I recommended assless chaps.
That was a good idea, yes.
I recommend a fire
I would say
suit.
No polyester, because when that burns, yeah, when it'll that melt burns onto your skin.
Yeah.
Natural fibers, Faye.
All right. Thanks. I'll check. Is spandex a natural fiber? Or maybe leather is.